Welcome to A Deeper Look in the Book. This broadcast is brought to you by Bible Way Community Baptist Church in beautiful Irving, Texas, where our pastor is none other than Dr. Timothy J. Wilbert, Sr. This week, Pastor Wilbert will bring in a series of studies out of the book of Ephesians. So get close to your radio and bring your Bible now as we take a deeper look in the book.
Come on, Houston, you can say it one time with us. Pray.
And get into Ephesians chapter 2. We have went through Ephesians chapter 1, and Ephesians chapter 1 deals with praise. Paul praised God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, because they are the triune God, and only the triune God has the power and the ability to save us. Remember, Paul was writing to folks in Ephesus, and in Ephesus there was the temple of Diana, and people were giving glory and homage to Diana. And so Paul, he gives homage and glory and praise to God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, because all three was involved in our salvation. As a matter of fact, you tell me, what did God the Father do? What was one thing that God the Father, what did he do? He chose us. What did God the Son do? He redeemed us, with his own blood, didn't he? And then what about the Spirit? What did the Spirit do? Sealed us. Amen. God the Father has chosen us. God the Son died for us, redeemed us. And then God the Holy Spirit has sealed us. And so we should give all praise and glory to him. All right. Now, in Ephesians chapter 2, Paul, he breaks down salvation a little bit more. As a matter of fact, what we are studying tonight is probably some of the most important passages of Scripture as it relates to salvation. If you ever want to understand salvation, this is the place you need to start. Ephesians chapter 2, these first 10 verses. So that's what we want to look at tonight. Because in Ephesians 2, these first 10 verses, you're going to see what we were, what God did, and what we are now. You're going to see those three things in Ephesians 2, the first 10 verses. Let's look at what we were. What we were. It says in the first three verses, and you were dead. Do you see this past tense? And you were dead in your trespasses and sin, in which you formerly walked according to the course of this world, according to the power of the air, the prince, the power of the air, of the spirit that is now at work in the children or the sons of disobedience. Among them, we too all formerly lived in the lust of our flesh, indulging in the desires of the flesh and of mind, and were by nature children of wrath, even as the rest. Now, what we were. Do you see those four things there? It's very descriptive of what we were. Number one, we were dead in trespasses and sin. We were dead. We were dead. And a lot of times, how many of you have ever heard a person say, no, I'm going to stop this particular habit just, you know, in a little while. The first of the year, I'm going to stop this the first of the year. Do you know that an unbeliever do not have the power to stop sinning? Well, let me ask you, how much power do a dead man have? Why? Because he's dead. The Bible says we are dead in sin. In other words, we are powerless in sin. See, that's why the devil, have you ever noticed before you got saved? Before you got saved, a lot of times you make plans to stop doing this and plans to stop doing that. And you took a break for a while, but it didn't last long. You know why? Because you didn't really have the power. A lot of times, people think that they done stopped a particular sin, and all what done happened is the devil just done took a break in their life. The devil just done let them alone, but the devil said, I'll be back for Christmas. You see what I'm saying? And have you ever noticed a lot of times you could be going along real good? I'm talking about before you got saved. You was going along real good, but soon as holiday time came up, that old sin habit came right back up. You may have hadn't drunk anything for the last month and a half, and then all of a sudden, soon as holiday time rolled around, all of a sudden, whatever that sin problem, it began to take control of you. You're powerless. That's because you're dead in your trespasses and sins. Amen. And see, a dead person don't have the ability to save themselves. No, you don't have the ability. See, before you got saved, you couldn't save yourself. Most of the time, you listen to an unbeliever. He say, you know, I'm going to start going to church. I'm going to start acting right. You know, I'm going to get saved. No. You can't save yourself. Let me ask you a question. How many of you had to do with your first birth? How many of you had to some say in your first birth? Huh? None. And only by the grace of God that you had a second birth. You were born again. If God don't save you, you can't save yourself. The Bible says we were dead. And so a dead person can't save himself. A dead person can't stop this or start that. He can't stop a bad habit or start a good habit. Why? Because he's dead. Amen. And this is what the Bible said. The Bible said we was dead in our trespasses and sin. Both of them. You know what a trespass is, don't you? A trespass is that you are going places you don't supposed to go. That's trespass. And the Bible says you was dead in your trespass. In other words, you was doing stuff that you know you weren't authorized to do, but you didn't have the power to stop it. You was dead in your trespass. And sin is missing the mark. It's like you can't hit the bullseye. In other words, you can't please God. See, a dead person can't please God. The dead person is dead. Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. All right. Dead in trespass and sin. And then the Bible said we walked in sin. We walked in sin. We was dead in sin. Then we walked in sin. It says, in which you formerly walked according to the course of the world. You was going the way the world go. Hello, somebody. You was going the way the world go. Have you noticed that before you got saved, you was trying to keep up with the world? Is I'm right about it? Before you got saved, you was trying to keep up with the world. Matter of fact, you found out what the world was doing, and then you joined up with it. Amen. Amen. I know what I'm talking about. I know. And even though you may know it's wrong, but you try to keep up with the world. Huh? Amen. And sometimes sin don't taste that good. But you're just trying to keep up. I know I was trying to drink beer. Hated beer, but I was trying to keep up. Beer, the nastiest thing in the world. But I'm trying my best to keep up, because this is what grown men do. I mean, if you want to be a man, you know, you learn how to drink beer. So that's what I tried to do until I was driving down the highway and my friend drank and slipped malt liquor bull. They said, "What you want?" I said, "I want the bull. Get me the bull." They said, "Oh, preacher man, you can't drink anything." I said, "Let me show you. Let's get me the bull." Driving down the highway after about two or three of them bulls, and all that bull started coming out of me. See, they knew I couldn't drink. I'm trying to prove to them, only thing I proved to them, that I couldn't drink. But I went back home and I told God, I said, "Lord, don't ever let me make a fool out of myself like that." But I was trying to keep up with the world. And that's what we often do. We try to keep up with the world. And the scripture says, before we got saved, we was going the course of the world and even following the devil, the prince, the power of the air. Who's the prince, the power of the air? Who controls the airwaves? Huh? Who controls the airwaves? The devil. The devil is in a lot of these songs. That's why our children got the devil in them. Yeah, I was reading even today about a rock and roll lady, rock and roll star, and they was interviewing, and she said, "I can't wait till I die." And they said, why you can't wait till you die? She said, "So I can go to hell, because I know I'm going to have a lot of fun with a lot of my friends in hell." Now, isn't that crazy? Huh? See, that's why we need to teach about hell. Folks got the wrong view of hell. See, they thinking it's going to be a party down there. See, she having all kind of fun on earth, and she said, "I can't wait to go to hell where I can get all my friends through all their ages and stuff that think like I think." But the Bible says you're going to be in outer darkness. You're going to hear folks down there hollering and screaming, but you're going to be able to see nothing because you're in hell. That's another sermon altogether. But the Bible said, walk according to the course of the word, the prince and the power there. Now, it said the prince. You know what a prince is? A prince is somebody in line to be king. Now, notice, the devil is not the king of the air. He's the prince of the air. Jesus is the king of the air. Amen. Amen. And so he can pull the devil in anytime he wants to. He's a prince that'll never become king. All right. Now, the scripture says, also we lived in sin. Verse number 3, among these, we all formerly lived in what? Ooh-wee. The Bible said we lived in lust. Isn't that something? Now, this is a problem. Why do people squabble? Why do people argue and fuss and fight? Turn to James chapter 4. And you'll see why folks squabble, fuss, and fight. James chapter 4. James chapter 4. Verse 1. What do it say? Yeah, you can stand and read.
From whence some is war and fight among you. Some be not hence, even of your lust, the war in your members.
Amen. Where war comes, what do quarrels come? He said they come because of lust. Amen. Selfish desire. Amen. So you can see why unbelievers are such hell raisers. Because they live in lust. That's where they hang out. They hang out. If you want to find an unbeliever, he's hanging out in lust. Yeah, that's one of the characteristics of an unbeliever. They are hard to please because they always want something else. Amen. And it's all about them. It's all about them. It's nothing about others. It's all about them. They are in this for them. That's the reason they can drop people like a hot potato. A boy can be dating this girl and he can drop her like a hot potato for somebody else. Because he ain't caring about the girl. Why get so quiet in here? Oh my goodness. Wow, man, it got all quiet in here. I'm just talking about lust, how we used to live. The Bible said we lived in lust. And then the Bible says, and were by nature children of wrath. We had a sinful nature, and we were children of wrath. We was destined for hell. Isn't that something? We're destined for hell. We were on our way there. Now, look at your life real good. And if you still see any of these four characteristics, that means you ain't saved yet. Because the scripture says, we were. See, that's a past tense. All of these things should have been past tense. You shouldn't be trying to keep up with the world. Now, you still may wrestle with the world. That should be a tug of war, but you shouldn't be giving in. You should be trying to keep in tune with the world. And if you can't have the world, then you fall out like a baby. Oh, you know a lot of folks, if they can't go this place or go that place or wear this, they fall out like a baby. Act bitter childish and start cussing and fussing. That's the attitude of an unbeliever. But the Bible said, this is what you were. So it's showing us how we got saved. This is how we were before we got saved. We was dead in our trespassing sin. We walked in sin. We lived in sin. We even had a sin nature. But God. Everybody say, but God. But God makes the difference. The but is a U-turn. Anytime you see a but in a sentence, it's a U-turn. So God helped us in making a U-turn. When it comes to the Bible, when it comes to your Christian life, always remember it is legal for you to make a U-turn. Did you hear what I said? It's legal for you to make a U-turn as it relates to your spirituality and your walk with God. It's legal. Now, out there in the world, when you're driving your car, it's illegal. Alright? I don't want somebody to leave out of here tonight and start making a U-turn and say, you know, when my pastor told me that you know, it was perfectly canal. No, you ain't got no business making a U-turn there in front of Walmart. You done passed it. Go on down and come on back. Ain't nothing to be making no U-turn. Yeah. All right. But when it comes to your spiritual walk with God, that's what the word repentance means. It's if you're going this way, the scripture says repent. Well, when you repent, you make a U-turn. It's a military. The word repent is a military word. Cliff, you was in there. Military. Well, what do they call? I don't know if that's is that about face? About face. You be going this way and they say about face, then you turn. go the opposite direction. Yeah, and so basically that's what that word repent means. It means about face. It means that you turn around and go the other way. All right, the scripture says, but God. Now, what did God do? God done four things here. Number one, he quickened us. Look at verse number five. It says, verse four, let's read four. But God being rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we was dead in our trespasses and sin, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. All right? Look, he has quickened us. That word made alive. He has quickened us. That's what the word quicken means. God has quickened us. And not only has he quickened us, verse 6 says, and raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. All right? So he has raised us up, and then he has seated us in heavenly places. Oh, boy, this is good news. I'll show you in just a minute. He seated us in heavenly places. Okay, now notice, he has quickened us. Now, why is that such good news? Because we used to be dead. But now we have been made alive. See, what do a dead person need? See, a person that's dead in their trespass and sin. No. I used to tell the guy when I was working down at the mission. They said, Pastor, if I can just get me a job, I can make it. I said, huh? No. If I can just get back home, I could. No. If I could just get a little money in my pocket and kind of get back on my feet, I can make it. No. Because you know why? Because you're dead. But a dead person needs, we had a funeral here. I could put all the money in the world on that dead body. It wouldn't do no good. As a matter of fact, one of the reasons that you don't want to give a lot of money to people who are dead and trespassing in sin, because they're going to use it just like a dead man would use it. They're not going to use it right. Good for nothing. Huh? It's going to be used in a good for nothing way. All right. He quickened us. So that's what we need. We need to be quickened. See, a dead person can't see nothing. He need his eyes open. That's why you can talk to an alcoholic or a drug addict and say, you don't need to do that. Can't you see what you're doing to your family? Can't you see what you're doing to your wife? Can't you see what you're doing to your kids? They can't see. They can't see. And you say, man, don't you hear what I'm trying to tell you? You act like you can't hear. That's right, they can't. They can't hear. They dead to, see, you are living in another world. You're in another dimension. They're in one dimension. You're in another dimension. They are dead in their trespass and sin. And God has quickened us. Then God has raised us.
If you would like a copy of the Bible study that you have just heard in its entirety, please contact the church at 972-257-3766. Again, that is 972-257-3766. Or you can visit the church website at BibleWayIrving.org. Again, that is BibleWayIrving.org. And come out and visit us on a Wednesday night Bible study at 7 o'clock, where you can hear Dr. Wilbur go in depth into his Bible studies. Again, that is at 7 o'clock at 4215 North Greenview Drive in Irving, Texas. And always remember, bring a paper and a pen, because we are going to take a deeper look in the book.